me how to say ladies and gentlemen in gender-neutral terms.
Realize that you can watch all of the shit that's out there. Don't let either company trick you into thinking it's a us versus them thing. Just enjoy the wrestling. Whether it's WWE or AEW or NXT, you guys don't have to choose. You can watch it all. That's rad.
Fight forever, Guardian!
I think he broke it.
Look what you made me do!
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Like I've never done this before. Welcome to HIAC Talk Radio. I remember the first time I did a stream too. Craig Lagans is in sunny. I don't know where you are.
I'm coming to you from my brand new place, sporting my X-Men 97 pajamas, coming to Disney Wednesday.
Oh, that is March. On Wednesday. That's right.
Yes.
Wow, it's gonna that hell of a good week because you got that. We got Ghostbusters. It's an exciting week. Jim Cornette's at it again.
I've noticed he rankled your feathers a bit today. I still don't know what for. His latest episode of this podcast has not dropped yet. But I know he puts snippets out on YouTube before it's the full podcast comes out. So I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. So what's got you in a stir with Mr. Cornette this time?
It is. Well, I have to preface this by saying I respect the hell out of Jim as far as the wrestling business. I mean, who can't? Who couldn't? He's the man, you know?
Yeah.
He was ordained by the Bobby the Brain Heenan. Like, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he's really, really, really angry a lot. And as proven by the latest, I'm going to see if I bring this up for you without ruining the stream. I'm using a new technique tonight, folks, so bear with me. Maybe I could show you. And I want your honest... I'll take your honest opinions on it. Because I'm a white guy. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, this must be something racial then. Whenever you prep with I'm a white guy, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
I wonder where this conversation's headed.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't do it on purpose.
Okay.
So if I bring this up here, god damn it. It's all falling apart, Craig. It's all falling apart. There it is. Hey, I got it.
Okay.
I can actually show it to you on the screen you have there. I don't have the ability to. We're learning something new tonight. Today, everyone, don't mind me. You know what? I'll send it to you on your Facebook, and I get your live reaction.
There you go.
What a silly bastard. I just want you to... This was the... I can't think tonight either. I am totally flustered. I should have tested this before. This was the thumbnail used for his latest video about Mercedes Moné.
Okay, so what am I looking at here? I see artwork of him... a Jack in the Box, I'm guessing that's supposed to be Tony Khan as a some kind of slinky dog. And who's that in the... Okay, is that... that's supposed to be Mercedes? Mercedes Mania?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just a really bad drawing of, I'm guessing, of Mercedes Monet.
Yes.
As a, in a Hulk Hogan-like shirt.
Yes.
That's supposed to be Mercedes Monet. It's just a terrible, it's just a terrible painting.
Yeah, I'm not saying, I don't know what the racist connotation is about it. And that's just a horrible fucking disrespectful. That's just fucking low. Even for Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, it's really disgusting. And we know how he feels about women's wrestling, which is not as fond as he used to be. Let me just say it like that.
Well,
I'll say it like that.
He still calls them girls. That's the thing that gets me. He calls them
girls
wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you said that because that bothers that. It shouldn't, but it does. It bothers the shit out of me.
Yeah, and I would curse the artist. I know Jim Cornette didn't paint this or draw this
No, he can't draw.
No, but So I don't see it as racist. It's just a terrible painting. It's just there's a whole pages on social media of bad tattoos of people holding up the actual picture they want on their arm or leg or whatever, and what the artist drew, and this looks like one of them. Again, that's supposed to be Mercedes Moné, correct?
That is supposed to be Mercedes Moné.
It's like she's got Larry Fine's hair. Is she bald on top and she's got hair on the sides? I don't get it.
Yeah, she's supposed to look like Hogan. That's the whole point, is she's supposed to look like Hogan.
Okay, I don't see any racial overtones here.
No, not at all. I just thought it was really fucking disgustingly disrespectful. We can debate Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks' ability until we're blue in the face. I think she's fine. I think she's a fine wrestler. I think she's a very good wrestler. Yeah. I think she's great. And I think if this is a big if, you and I have discussed this ad nauseum. This is a big if. I think if the AEW, Tony, does this right, she can turn not only the women's division around, which is already, it's kind of doing, but we're not there yet. But there's a chance, because of her name, to turn the whole goddamn company around. And boy, wouldn't that be a boon. Wouldn't Tony be able to stick his feather in that cap? It's like, yeah, well, I had a lady do it, you know? But it's an if, because Tony Khan.
Exactly. And while that would be a great if, the reason why the if is so big is because he's had this opportunity before with former WWE stars to turn the company around. In fact, he had the biggest star in all of wrestling at his disposal and did turn the company around, at least in an upward direction as far as ratings and attendance and all that. And managed to blow it. I mean, that wasn't Tony's fault. That was the people that he has beneath him. But we've seen it too often. Guys that should be making a big deal, like your Bryan Danielsons and your Adam Copelands, who should be turning the company around, but now they're just another person. Even on the women's side, with Saraya and Ruby Riott and Toni Storm at least found something, but she wasn't a Toni Storm when she's a far cry from the Toni Storm that came into AEW. I mean, her Timeless Toni is working because it's a great character and it's the only thing that's working in the women's division, but No, Tony's inability to book anything, or the fact that he is the booker, is the reason why you're not going to see. I would be surprised, or the big if is if Mercedes Moné could do something with it. I mean, they already, to me, they already dropped the ball, because why wasn't this? I know they did the same thing they did with Punk, and it worked for Punk, debuting in her hometown and not announcing it, but not really announcing it. Yeah. But I'm like, why not just do it? Why not have her do press leading up to it on every, even if it's just in Boston, have her do the Boston version of the President's Theme Show or AM Boston or something, and say the artist formerly known as Sasha Banks will be on AEW tonight. I mean, anything, something like that to bring more eyes to your product. I mean, I told you when I was watching Edge on I still want to see Regis and Kathy Lee, on Kathy Lee and whatever her husband's name. He was on there talking about Percy Jackson and never mentioned AEW once. Why? He's on a nationally, the biggest morning radio show in the country, and you have one of your premier wrestlers on there, and he doesn't mention your company once. So I don't have high hopes for Sasha turning it around. They've had plenty of opportunity with plenty of other wrestlers, and no knock on Sasha, that were more popular than her, and it hasn't happened. So. I don't, and if they, especially if they're going to have drawer like this, it's definitely isn't going to help.
That I don't get. And I do want to preface it by saying I tweeted about it. You saw it, and I muted it because I put it out there. Made sure I put his name in there because you know all the. The cult of Cucknet would be like, dare you. So I made sure I did that. And then I muted it because I don't care. I could see the number of replies going up. And I'm like, well, apparently they can't read. Because I'm a bastard. I just don't understand why she's fodder for it. And I think most people are looking at it as a racial thing. Let me rephrase that. Some people are looking at it as a racial thing because of his past great comments about wrestlers that are slightly darker skinned than most of his friends. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, when somebody tells me, yeah, but he pushed New Jack, it's the same thing as somebody telling me, well, I have black friends. Like, don't say that. don't say that. That's not helping. Plus, because he's dead and he can't defend, he can't say anything now. Mm-hmm. I just think it's bad timing because she's African American. That the drawing is a bad taste. I could see people making the connotation like, of course, you would draw her like Hulk Hogan, one of the arguably most racist mother effers in recent wrestling history. Just bad timing. And the fact that it got past his co-host and him, and they were like, go ahead, run with it. He already has a tough enough time being non-biased on that friggin' show. Again, he still calls the ladies girls. I don't know, how old is he now? 64?
Yeah, something like that.
Do you call your wife girl when you're let? Anyway, never mind. I'm just saying. I just work here. We should be talking about her debut, which I thought looked great. What they do going forward is a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about Jim, which is partly my fault because I could have ignored it, but he does. God damn it, he gets under my. Shut the fuck up, Jim. Don't watch it. It's a grift. At this point, you know how people throw out the word grift to the right? It's almost a grift. because he doesn't like it. He's very clear, and more power to him. You're not allowed. You're allowed to not like it. But that's the gimmick now. We know the game, and after 12 weeks of it, can't believe I went that long with it. I was like, okay, I get it. You hate the little Asian wrestler. They're girls. You don't like AEW. I'm moving. Listen, I don't like it either. But can we find the positive? If I'm calling out the positives, you're very negative, is all I'm saying. Jesus Christ. I don't know, Craig. Go ahead. You were going to say something about her debut anyway.
No, her debut was great. Just the show that was bad. It just wasn't. If you wanted to showcase her at the top, that's great. But if you're going to have an audience like she was going to attract, why would you have your main event be Rio and Willow Nightingale? Why is the hottest wrestler in the company right now
not in the main event that night?
Yeah, or not even wrestling that night, Dan. Why was Swerve just doing a run-in? Why can't you put that guy on TV every week? I don't care if it's just 5 minutes in the ring with Nana. That's how you use your main event for a debuting Mercedes Moné is Rio and Willow Nightingale. And Leeson, why isn't the world champion in the main event? If you're going to give away Samoa Joe and Wardlow for free,
don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, so her debut was fine. The show she was on sucked. When you have a built-in audience like that, you got to do better than that.
Yeah,
because you're not going to get Sasha Banks debuting every week. So,
no, that was it. You had that was the one shot. She should have immediately been thrown into a main event. I am 100% thrilled that Willow Nightingale was the main event. I've been watching Willow for years. But then have her go up against. Now I know they're running that as a friendship, as far as I know. However, let's stay positive here, Craig. There is still a chance he can make this right. His track record states otherwise, but I've all week have been trying to make sure I spin this positively, and nothing I can say can fix it, because logically you're going to go, but this, this, and this, and you're right. You're right. Because I was mentioning you have a golden opportunity, and your counterpoint very honestly and astutely was, how many golden opportunities has he had? How you haven't learned your lesson at this point. Be cliche, Tony. And I'm not talking trash. I'm not calling you out. I'm not being mean. You did throw Ric Flair in my face again with Sting. He could barely get in the ring. The only thing bad about that match, in my opinion, I know how you felt about the match, but I'm saying the only thing that took me out of the match is when they double super kicked Ric Flair and he barely took it. Because, quite frankly, Ric Flair shouldn't be in the ring anymore. Period. On top of the fact that he's a sex pest. However, be cliche. Put her in every segment. For God's sakes. Overdo it. Do the Vince McMahon thing. Not the rape. The throwing people down our throats. It's Mercedes fucking Moné. Bailey was there.
Yes.
To watch her friend debut. Trinity was there to watch their friend debut there. You have literally the entire wrestling world watching your show. Use this. Do not make the same mistake you've made 20 times over. Why is Chris Jericho still... Why is he not mid-card or lower at this point? Why is he still there at the top? It's Chris Jericho. 20 years ago.
Yeah. There's so many. Why is Daniel Garcia on your TV every week, but Powerhouse Hobbs is not?
Swerve Strickland. Yes. Shane, watch that kid. I say kid. Watch that dude in CZW when he was a kid. A young adult, I mean. He's right there. You have a chance to be opposite than everybody else. He's not on the show.
This reminds me of late 90s WCW booking.
Oh, God, it does. Yeah.
But I mean, Courtney Cox was in the audience. She's the star of the number one show on television in your audience. Why wasn't she on the microphone? Why wasn't the camera in her face asking Courtney Cox, where's the star of the number one show on television? Where would you want to be? I want to be right here with WCW because WCW is the best. Bam.
You know what makes that worse, Craig? Is you remember what happened the next week? Or was it Thunder?
Mm-hmm.
When they had not only Courtney Cox on segment, acting in a segment or two with her husband, the current WCW heavyweight champion, David Arquette. But at hour two, you had fucking Kurt Russell. And you did nothing. It wasn't advertised. It wasn't talked about.
They wanted to use ER, the number one drama on television, wanted to use Goldberg. And Eric or whoever in charge said no. So they created this character on ER called Kornberg, who looked just like Goldberg, but they said no. Now we don't want Goldberg to be on the number one show on network television.
That whatsoever.
ER was like, they had this wrestler in here who got hurt, and they were like, you know who that is? That's Kornberg, man. He's a world heavyweight champion. And found out later, and they said everything that he looked just like Goldberg, acted like Goldberg, and everything. And yeah, said, yeah, found out later on a newsletter, yeah, that they approached WCW by using Goldberg, and they said, no, they couldn't spare him.
What the
for it? Like, make room, make time in your schedule to put your number one star on the number one show on network television on ER, and you couldn't do that. You couldn't put him on and with the WCW Heavyweight Championship. And no, but yeah, Bobby
find
even
a way.
Said, "You find a way, make it work." Yeah, Bobby Heenan even said that. When Goldberg went to visit Mark McGuire. When they were in St. Louis, and McGuire rubbed his bat all over Goldberg, and that was the year he hit 70 home runs. In hindsight, that would have been a big deal back then. But I mean, it was the biggest thing in all sports to have. Why wouldn't you have McGuire? That segment showing Goldberg with Mark McGuire before the scandal.
Well, that was years before.
Yeah. But I mean, but this, and not to get off on a tangent about all the horrible WWE booking mistakes.
I'm up for
but
it.
AEW is going along the same route. If you're having your stars getting national exposure, like Adam Copeland on Kelly and Mark in the morning, or not advertising Mercedes Moné, or you can just say, and there's nothing wrong with saying the artist formerly known as Sasha Banks. That's nothing that you're not going to get sued over that.
Literally.
Yeah, just call it because so many more people know her that because no, you're not attracting any new audience. All you're getting is the same AEW fans. If you want to attract new audience, let people know that, especially fans of Sasha Banks, where she's wrestling now. It's like with Kurt Angle got stopped in an airport and said, "Man, we miss your wrestling. I didn't know you retired." He goes, "I'm not. I'm in TNA." The hell is that?
Is that something that happened?
Did you didn't know that story?
No.
Kurt Angle has been with TNA for 2 years and he got stopped. He was in the airport. Some fans that had all of this WWE merch and said, "Oh man, we miss you, man. We didn't know you retired. I think you stopped." It said, "No, I didn't stop wrestling. I'm with TNA."
I'm on TNA.
I didn't know that. And you know, with branding, it's perception. Obviously, that WWE is a major league, and if you don't wrestle there, you don't wrestle anywhere. But that's TNA's fault for not getting more eyes on it.
You pricks.
Yeah. AEW has, right now they draw the same audience they always draw because all they have is AEW fans. When you had someone like a CM Punk that could bring you new fans because people were legit wondering where CM Punk was or why he's not wrestling anymore. And you got new audiences and you got a new crowd. You got CM Punk fans there they'll follow him anywhere. And I'm sure Sasha can inspire that same kind of loyalty if you market it right. If you let people know this is where Sasha Banks is now. The artist formerly known as Sasha Banks is on AEW. Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock.
That's a week
on TBS. It's a weeknight, yeah. So yeah. I'm interesting to know. I wonder what they'll do with her going forward.
Never win the AEW championship.
Right away.
Right, like now. Tomorrow. Like, yes, not tomorrow, not after breakfast. Now.
What say you, Fuzzy Britches?
You know who's doing it right now?
Who's doing it right, Dan?
You wanna hear Dan positive and throwing away his bitterness?
I'd love to meet positive Dan. Where's he been?
I've been pretty positive about Ghostbusters, man. I don't know. That's a lie. Announced 20 minutes ago by Sean Ross Sapp, the guy that apparently has no sources and is a loser, and Jim Cornette's fine. And Dave Meltzer's still relevant. Yeah, no, that's true. At GCW Collective, April 4th, in Philadelphia, Penn's Landing, whatever that building is. What fucking building is that? Caterers? Penn's, I guess it's a big building. Penn's Landing Caterers. At Josh Barnett's Bloodsport X, TNA wrestler Masha Slamovic will be wrestling WWE wrestler Shayna Baszler.
Wow. I saw that Shayna Baszler was wrestling in Philly. I didn't know who she was wrestling. She's wrestling some from TNA. Obviously, this
that's
is the Triple
A wrestling H- for, and that is the Triple A. Yes, go ahead. You got it.
I was saying that's a Triple H influence now because now WWE wrestlers can accept independent dates, something that they could not do under the Vince regime. So, and you might see more of that WrestleMania week, you know, because that's where indies get most of their, you know, big revenue during WrestleMania week. Wherever WrestleMania, the host city is, we'll see a bunch of local indie shows pop up in and around that to capitalize on the influx of people in there. So I would expect to see more WWE wrestlers who may not have a match at WrestleMania pop up on an indie show or two the first week of April.
That is something I never understood. Even like I understand a little bit during the Monday Night Wars because it was those two conglomerates against each other. I'll give you that. But after that's over, I never understood the old man mentality of not sending a wrestler somewhere. Like that Brian Hildebrand tribute show. No.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, they were there, but they that was what, probably the last time.
But what show am I? I'm talking about the one where it was Brett versus Mankind.
Yeah, that was in Texas. That was that Terry Funk's last?
That was supposed. Well, it was his first last match. Yes,
one of his matches. Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, that's an example. But the Brian Hildebrand one, there was WWF and then the NWCW guys on that card.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yes, it was basically ECW, WCW, and WWF wrestlers.
And the first two Brian Pillman Memorial shows were WWE and WCW guys.
Why does someone have to die?
Yeah, that's true.
For this to happen.
Yeah.
Just goddamn put the show on. There's nothing wrong with that. That helps everybody. And you know what? Yeah, help the independent wrestling scene. Send somebody down there. Someone that you know that probably won't get hurt. If you're worried about injury, I ain't gonna do anything to fuck that up. Kick my ass. I mean, me if I was a wrestler. Me now, certainly, of course. Those are two names. First of all, Slamovic's name is big in indie wrestling, so that's going to be huge. Going against Shayna Baszler, that does a lot for her, does a lot for Shayna, does a lot for GCW and all the other indies down there. Because now you're going to go, what else is going to happen this weekend? We are all here in the same place. Literally anything can happen. Mm-hmm. That is something that needed to happen years ago. And now that Vince is gone, thank God. I hate the way it happened and who was hurt on the way. But he gone. Now we can do this. That's huge. And I am that just bought that ticket. I'm down for that.
And how long before an indie show occurs where there is a WWF star and an AEW star on it at the same time?
Actually, I have to look into that card because I believe there is an AEW wrestler on that show. I will look at that later while you're doing this, hopefully a historian segment, like right now, unless you had something else you wanted to bring on.
No. Today was a remarkable week in history.
We have stuff.
We have stuff. Whenever our favorite radio station talks about the tickets, the giveaway tickets for the boat show, I'd go immediately to to PCU. One of my favorite movies that's still not available on DVD or on any streaming services. But I just remember the scene where near the end of the movie, I mean, he said boat, Preston Steve said boat show, but when the Dean Leslie Walter is trying to chase a heron, and we want to thank the wonderful Dean for the amazing boat show, the boat show, the wonderful boat show.
I remember a lot about that movie. I don't remember that.
Every time we hear boat show now, I think it's the boat show, the wonderful boat show, the one and only boat show, the wonderful boat show. And that's enough vamping. So let's go back in time. We were talking about the glory days back when wrestlers could from other federations could appear in another federation without fear of reprisal or anything like that. It was just a common thing. Wrestling was a hit in all 50 states, and wrestlers from the NWA, the AWA, and the WWF could all appear on the same cards. And as long as you made your bookings, promoters had a handshake deal. Hey, we want to bring in one of your guys from the NWA over here in the WWF on Madison Square Garden. Great. Hey, I know I'm the current Intercontinental Champion. My name's Ken Patera, but I'm also the Missouri State Champion in the NWA, so I'd like to wrestle in St. Louis at beginning of this week and wrestle in Madison Square Garden by the end of the week. Sure thing, Ken. As long as you can make your bookings, we got no problem. The good old days. That's what we call the wrestling historian. March 13th, 1983. Landmark day in professional wrestling because on March 13th, 1983, 41 years ago, this week, we had one of the biggest matches that was unfortunately left off of the A&E biography of the great Sergeant Slaughter. I don't know if you guys have seen it. That is your homework, to check out the A&E biography series. This past Sunday, it was, God, was it? Oh, Diamond Dallas Page.
I was going to say DDP.
DDP. But the one before that, last week's, was Sergeant Slaughter. And they showed what I love, and even if it's a wrestler I know, we know so much about, they showed early stuff. I didn't know he was a member of Vern Gagne's training camp. And that I didn't know that he beat the shit out of Billy Robinson once during a training set. Didn't know anything about it. I didn't know about the pretty boy Bob Remus days, where he would come to the ring in a pink robe or a pink Mighty Mouse shirt and had blonde hair and it was modeling himself after superstar Billy Graham. I'm saying all this to say that when they did the Sergeant Slaughter biography, they mentioned his time in the Carolinas after his first run in the WWF and the boot camp match with Pat Patterson. That was a must-have among early tape traders, his match in Madison Square Garden. The amazing bumps he would take, because Sarge was a big guy, but he could sell his ass off, especially for a top babyface. But when he left the WWF, he went to the Carolinas for 2 years, where he was the United States champion, and he got over another young talent named Don Kernodal, and they were the NWA tag team champions. What was skipped over was the tag team championship cage match they had for the NWA tag team title on March 13th, 1983 at the Greensboro Coliseum, that not only sold out the Greensboro Coliseum, but turned away 16,000 fans. And it was so big that they had to cut into local news and local radio to tell folks not to come to the arena because it was sold out and traffic was backed up off I-95 in Charlotte. Please. Yeah, they were literally telling wrestling fans, stay home. There are no tickets left. Don't come to the arena because the people that are being turned away are causing a traffic jam that's backed up most of the highway. That match took place March 13, 1983, with a loaded card, including Roddy Piper versus Dick Slater and Ric Flair defending the NWA Heavyweight Championship against the United States champion, Greg Valentine, and that went to a one-hour draw. But that was neither one of those were the main event. The main event was the NWA Tag Team Championship match between Sergeant Slaughter and Don Kernodal, defending their belts against Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood. Steamboat and Youngblood would regain the NWA Tag Team Championship in one of the loudest, most raucous crowds you'll ever see. And that gave birth to Starrcade 6 months later. That's how important that match was, March 13th, 1983. Far-reaching percussions, and it changed the business. It changed the NWA. And it changed Sergeant Slaughter's career. Not that you would know it in the A&E biography.
Just say it never happened.
Gold. Okay, we're going to go further on to the week that was. Dan, we have talked about a very serious loss that occurred. It's been 30 years. March 16th, 1994. I can't believe it's been 30 years we suffered this loss. It's something that's been talked about, it's been brought up, and it still leaves a mark on a great many people. That it's hard to believe it's been 30 years since we had to say goodbye to Mick Foley's ear.
Oh, fuck you.
March 16th, 1994, Dresden, Germany. Vader, Cactus Jack, steel cable ropes, and a lost ear. 30 years ago.
Goddamn elevator ropes, man. The elevator wire.
Elevator cables doubling as ring ropes. Cactus did his tried and true spot, being thrown over the top rope and getting his head caught in the ropes. Not so much ropes as, again, we're saying steel elevator cables that were cutting off his windpipe.
Those man things that actually hold up elevators when you're going up and down those, that is what we're talking about. That is what was used as ring ropes in WCW until the end, I believe.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Well, in trying to extricate Jack's head from the ropes.
That's a good way of putting it.
It managed, because of the steel-like cables, it was a vice-like grip because, again, Mick Foley legitimately couldn't breathe. Again, I was going to say he's done this spot where his head gets caught in the ropes many times. It looks spectacular. It looks like it added to the mystique that was Cactus Jack, because he had done it on indies, and it looked like, oh, my God, you know, he's going to, you know, he's good. But this time, again, they weren't ropes. They were steel cables. He couldn't breathe. And to get his head out, he squeezed it through, and his head came through, and his ear came off.
Yeah,
not all the way off, but when he got hit by Vader, that's when it did come off. Thankfully, Gary Michael Capetta, the ring announcer, was there to grab what's left of his ear and run back to the dressing room and put it on ice. And to which Ric Flair just brought, what the fuck you got there? And Gary had to say, let's make Foley here. Did you hear that story?
Sure, you're like, what's that you got there? That's Mick Foley's ear.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, Gary. Gary Capetta told that story in his one man show that he does. And he still tells the story. And Mick, he said he felt really bad for Mick because he's in Germany with a referee who spoke fluent French and no one spoke English. So he was at a serious disadvantage of trying to get his ear reattached, which he never did. And again, that added to the growing mystique of Cactus Jack. But 30 years ago this week in wrestling history, we suffered the loss. We all suffered the loss of Mick Foley's ear. Yesterday, it was all over social media because people were still talking about it. 22 years ago, I can't believe it's been 22 years, March 17th. Some are calling it, I know Bully Ray, among other people, called it the greatest match in WrestleMania history. I disagree. It may have been the loudest crowd. But WrestleMania 2000.
Yeah, I saw this discourse bullshit.
68,237 in Skydome, WrestleMania 18. Undertaker versus Flair match pissed me off. Triple H versus Jericho for the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship of the World. Triple H had the world. Yeah. And Rock versus Hogan. Again, may have been the loudest crowd ever, but certainly not the best WrestleMania match ever. It was good for those two, especially Hogan. He was working with a broken rib, but magnificently booked by Pat Patterson. But happened, 22 years ago this week, March 17th. Yeah, and it was, you realize how early WrestleManias were back then. And
I just wanted to say, and I agree, I have no argument against what you just said about that match. Perhaps we could use some of the atmosphere of that match.
Yeah.
But that match, I can name every match on that card was better. I mean, really.
Yeah.
In quality. It just was because Hogan was who. And this is not Dan. This is not Dan saying fuck Hulk Hogan. This is Hulk Hogan after 30 years already. And already bad knees, already a bad back, and his ability, and The Rock. The Rock wasn't the problem. It was just Hogan after all that mileage. So, yeah. No, of course you weren't going to get the same match that you were out of the rest of that card. But if you could mix one of an amazing match with that sound,
mm-hmm.
and we all know how I feel about Hogan and you,
mm-hmm.
How you feel about Hogan. I feel great about you. that still gives me chills.
Yeah.
And I was already mad. I was like, well, he's not going to be in the NWO now. I'm like, mm-hmm. I know where that's going. But you can't deny what that match was. You just can't, simply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, very memorable match. One of the most memorable matches at WrestleMania. Just, again, because of the crowd reaction. And you saw Hogan go from heel to face and Rock do the same thing from face to heel. And they both played off each other wonderfully. And again, it was Rock carried that match, doing what he could with Hogan, who was, again, long in the tooth and resting again with a broken rib, thanks to a house show he did with Rikishi 2 days earlier. So, again, kudos to him. Not the best match in WrestleMania history. Still got to go with Savage and Steamboat. But, yeah, the energy in that crowd and Sky Dome, again, 68,000. Undeniable. But absolutely, that match happened 22 years ago. Which brings us to today in wrestling history. Happy 71st birthday to one of the greats. I don't know if he is, but he should be in any wrestling Hall of Fame just because of what a great worker he was. And one of the great baby faces of all time. Former world champion. People forget that. They think of him as just a model or as just a strike force. But happy 71st birthday to a guy that still looks damn good. Rick Martel.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I hate going back to this, but no, I don't. That's not true. When he went to WCW in mid-98 or in early 98, I was even ecstatic. I'm like, oh, good. He's not going to be the model. We're going to have some matches. And that's what he did. And unfortunately, I think it was 3 or 4 in when he injured his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Came back after that knee injury. And unfortunately, it was like one of the nicest guys that did it. It wasn't like getting kicked to the face by Goldberg. It was just landing on the ring rope, just a botched. It was just not.
Yeah.
Their positioning was both off, and it just ripped his knee off. Not off, but it ripped it apart internally, and it ended Rick Martel's career on a WCW Nitro. But it still boggles my mind, blows my mind. That dude was on Nitro a lot, and I'm like, this guy could still go. And I think at that point he was 30 years into the career.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was a Canadian, like, superhero for a long time before he was even the model.
And the reason why the model thing worked for him, because he was just blessed with just amazing genetics. To me, he was the Canadian Ricky Steamboat. He looked good. His body looked good. Women loved him. You know, great in the ring. Never any wasted movement. Could work with anybody. And he fit the Vern mold, and Vern didn't like a lot of people, especially guys that he didn't, create. But he made it, Rick Martel his AWA World Champion, which was a big step for him. And he held it for a year back when AWA was still drawing money. I mean, the Road Warriors were his tag team champions, but Rick Martel was his world champion. And that was a huge... and he made Vern a ton of money. He go from that to, you know, working his way from the bottom pretty much in the WWF to, you know, Can-Am Connection with Tom Zank and Tom Leaves, and then he makes Strikeforce. Everything is Strikeforce was supposed to be him and Tom Zank. and Zank left, and but he and
Tito made,
but tag team champions, and that turned him into the model. And again, had a great career. He should be in the Hall of Fame, if not just for his work as a heel, as a babyface. He was a prototypical white meat babyface everywhere he wrestled. Again, because he had that smile, and because, again, just great looking, great body, great. And his body, when he was AEW champion, he looked better in the 90s when he was a model than he did when he was a world champion. Again,
he's so ripped in on WCW.
Exactly. And again, like Steamboat, always in shape, always kept himself in tremendous shape. And if you look at him now at 71, happy birthday, Rick. He still looks amazing, but an amazing career. Yeah. Amazing career, but happy birthday, Rick. And the last thing that happened today in wrestling history, 23 years ago today, Dan, was, you mentioned the initials before, but March 18th, 2001, the final WCW pay-per-view ever, Greed.
Yep. Giddy drum drops. It's a good show. It's a shame because did I think, was it going to save WCW? Who the hell knows? I don't know. But were they finding a stride again in the mid, which was former mid card and the younger kids? Well, gee, baffling answer. Who knew? And it just wasn't meant to be. It was a good show. Just put the Young Dragons in on the opening thing, man. That's all you need.
Yeah. And that, gentlemen and ladies, is the Wrestling Historian.
Anybody who's watching this, if you're listening to this, I'm not going to sound any different. If you're watching this, I spontaneously decided to use a brand new thing to record and stream the podcast portions of the stream. So sometimes I was hitting the wrong button. It was cutting back to me instead of Craig. I'll learn this within a week. But the reason why I'm going this way, it'll be easy because the podcasts are all going to be transmitted live in the same night, and then I can edit out of that. And B, leaves me less work to do on the back end. No comment. We always like doing work on the back end. Tomorrow night, Craig will be going to see am I supposed to say that?
You can say that.
Oh, okay. Craig's going to be seeing Ghostbusters, and then I'll be seeing it 2 days later. And actually, before I get distracted and we leave, hanging up behind me, I don't know if you heard today.
I did hear today.
Well, I only found out about an hour before the show. I was like, how did I miss this? But I'm hanging.
Yeah, I heard it this morning.
For those who are watching, I'm hanging Mr. Wayne Simmons. I bought this 2 days before he got traded.
Okay.
And I remember one of my oldest friends saying to me, well, don't buy Wayne's because he's going to be traded. I'm like, but I want Wayne Simmons's jersey. That's the point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I will forever have that jersey. And you don't hear this a lot in recent years because of how bad the culture was in Philadelphia as far as hockey, but Wayne Simmons not only announced his retirement, but he announced that he was going to sign a 1-day contract to retire as a Philadelphia Flyer. I
love it.
Beyond ecstatic for that. I cannot wait. Do yourselves a favor. Not only look up Wayne Simmons fight highlights. He was more than that. The man could score. That's the crazy thing. Everybody was like, well, great, we traded Jeff Carter. I'm like, yeah, but we got Wayne Simmons. Well, Jeff Carter
Wayne Simmons was an all-star for the Flyers. Wayne
Simmons was an all-star. There's great footage. I forgot who P.K. Subban's talking to, but it's during one of the outdoor games. Maybe it's during one of the outdoor games, but he's talking to someone, and he says to P.K. Subban, you think I can get Wayne Simmons on my card? Meaning fight card?
Yeah.
And PK just pauses and goes, "You could not fight Wayne Simmons." most people could. Yeah. There's a few, but most couldn't. Yeah. Not mm-hmm. only that, that was... gee, he was just fun to watch. I'm so glad he was a Flyer. And I'm so glad, like I said, with the recent hockey culture in the city, that he decided to, I'm retiring a Flyer. That's amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing him in orange and black one last time. It'll be emotional. And I cried everything, so.
I had his bobblehead doll, and I gave it to my brother for his birthday because I know he wanted it more than me.
I have his Funko. I still have his Funko Pop.
Okay.
I have a Claude Giroux. Yeah, I have three Flyers Funko Pops. Well, no, I have four. I have Bobby Clark behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. I have Wayne, and I have Claude. And I have Gritty. So, yes, Gritty was the fourth.
The Holy Triumvirate.
Yes, the Holy Trinity. He's standing next to the Fanatic, and then who is standing next to Ozzy Osbourne? I just wanted to mention that because it's my show and I'm selfish. Craig, where can people follow you?
They could follow me on Instagram, Facebook, X, Twitter, Threads, at Craig Ligon, CraigLigons. I do want to point out to all of our wrestling fans, we do a wrestling podcast, even though we spent a lot of time talking about hockey and thumbnail sketches on YouTube.
It was wrestling related.
There's a brand new season of Dark Side of the Ring out every Tuesday at 10 on Vice. They've had two episodes so far. The first one on Earthquake, John Tenta, which is really good. It's odd that, you know, we usually talk about people that they, you know, their careers have gone off the, you know, it's dark. This wasn't dark. It was just a tale of a guy that was a pro wrestler, had a lot of notoriety, and just, you know, it was a tale of one person's career. Bret Hart had a great story about John Tenta saying how much he hated being a heel. Because when they go to airports and people would, and he'd see kids and his face would smile and the kids would run away from him, you know, because they were so afraid. And Bret Hart said, and that crushed him, man. And like that, he'd have his head down on the plane the whole way to the next town because he loved kids. And, you know, I didn't know anything about John Tenta, the man who had three kids and, you know, was after, and how far where his career went after Earthquake. And, you know, you saw the clip of Haku laughing at the Shockmaster video, which he had never seen, apparently. And his laugh is like, that should be a ringtone because it's infectious, you know, the fearsome Haku. And that's my only gripe about the episode. Why, if you're talking about John Tent or Earthquake, you have to include the Shockmaster video in there just because he and Uncle Fred were both in WCW at the same time. But anyway, that was last week. I mean, sorry, 2 weeks ago. Last week's episode called entitled Buff and the Bagwells is so good. It's traditional Dark Side of the Ring stuff because you get to see how Marcus Alexander Bagwell completely fucked up his own career. Yeah. Even though a lot of it wasn't his fault, the broken neck he got from Rick Steiner and that botched bulldog wasn't his fault.
On Thunder,
and a live Thunder that you and I both watched. And when we saw the rest, I said, what happened? Then we saw the replay. It's like, oh, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. The addiction to pain pills and the alcohol was his fault.
Shooting his father.
Yeah. And,
fuck that guy.
Yeah. And see the episode if you haven't seen it. Please check it out. It's on Vice, but it's also on Hulu. Full episodes. And this week's episode, I believe, is tomorrow's episode, I believe, is Gentleman Chris Adams.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they've got some good subjects. Yeah, Chris Adams, Terry Gordy, Harley Race. We get some
Chris
good
Adams one's going to depress the shit out of me. God damn it.
Yeah. As 10 episodes, with episode 10 being Black Saturday. So we got a lot to look forward to.
It's not all death and destruction.
It's not all death and destruction. Even though it's weird they're doing Black Saturday and Oli just passed. So he would have been a good person to talk to about. But thankfully, a lot of the folks are still around that can talk about the episode. But Dark Side of the Ring, I just had to plug it because it's really good. Season 5 just started, so we're taping this on the Monday, but new episodes every Tuesday night at 10. Please give it a watch.
Did you get paid for that?
No. I get paid in hugs. And check out X-Men this Wednesday on Disney Plus, X-Men 97.
But there's a non-binary character! I know, Craig. I know.
My own partner on my other podcast had to point that out to me, and I had to the blood in my mouth from biting my tongue for like, who gives a fuck?
Podcast.
HNB, because you know these people aren't, they're not real, so it really doesn't matter if they're non-binary or any.
Of course, Rob would bring that up.
Of course, yeah. and they're mutants. Well, Rob's not happy that Pedro Pascal is going to be Reed Richards because he's miscast for some reason.
How?
I don't know how a make-believe character.
There's no fucking answer. Nobody in the world, even Rockstar fucking Rob, can answer that fucking question. And you can send your angry messages on social media, Danilo83, on Threads, on Twitter, X, Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, Hive, your mother's ass. Who cares? Shut up, Rob. You know what?
What?
Keep it on the paper.